you might feel like you were, you know, got under a curse or something. It runs in your family. Oh, we can never, we're all like this. Don't believe that. Believe what God says. He came, John 10:10, that you might have life and have it more abundantly, to the full, till it overflows. John 10:10. That's why Jesus came. I've got to believe it, though. I've got to get that in my head, okay? So your life really can get better. And so I've entitled this, this is part two, 16 hours a day. 16 hours a day. I encourage you to get the lesson of part one that's on the table out there. The title of that message was TikTok, okay? And that was not according to the social app out there, TikTok, but I mean the clock, TikTok. Because I talked about the difference between the clock and the compass. The compass gives you direction. The clock gives you managerial skills. And so I need to make sure I'm getting God on my side, doing what God says before I set my goals. I need to make sure I'm following His direction before I go after my dreams. I need to make sure I have His purpose before I try to get pleasure. Okay? God's not against you having pleasure as long as you're following His purposes. Okay? Every day, this was all in my message last week, every day we're going to have opportunities and opposition. But we have an option which way you're going to take. Learn a lesson from the egg. You know, eggs are in the news a lot these days based on I don't eat eggs these days, but I used to. I used to eat 4 eggs every morning, okay? Used to eat them. Sometimes I'd put raw eggs in. Everybody know what an egg is, you know? What'll happen to that egg if you don't crack it? Turns into a little chicky, okay? Okay? Right. Here's what we can learn from that. When the egg gets broken from without, kind of means death to what could have been. If it gets broken from within, you get something very nutritional, and it gives you life. That's how our life is. If we allow external things to break us, type of thing, it can be death, so to speak, negative, so to speak. But if on the inside we allow ourselves to be broken before God and say, God, I need you, that opens the door to life. Amen. And so I need to make sure that I'm following the compass of what God has and what God says. Then I start to manage my life around that. The reason I've entitled this 16 hours a day is based on this. Assuming that we get 8 hours of sleep a night. Okay, now I checked it out. I said, okay, so what is the average of what adults are supposed to get according to the powers that be, people that know things more than me about that. And they said anywhere, adults should get anywhere from 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. Okay. We need sleep, okay? It's kind of like recharging your phone, okay? You need that to get recharged, okay? So I just took the one in between, 8. So assuming we get 8 hours of sleep a night. That means we have 16 hours a day, or 112 hours, you could say, a week to make our thoughts and our emotions work for us or against us. Now, why am I saying that? Because it's real easy to look at other things and say, I don't have enough time. Got 16 hours a day to think right. Does that make a difference? I'm going to prove to you that it does. You got 16 hours a day to feel right. Yeah, you might not have this money. You might can't do this. I got to work. I got to do this. Okay, you can think while you're working. You can think on the right things while you're working. You can feel the right things while you're working. Or you can feel the wrong things. Yeah. Everybody knows that. 16 hours a day. We can choose to think and feel properly. Okay, why do we need to do that? Because here's what the Bible says in Matthew 4:4. Jesus said this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of his mouth. He was quoting Deuteronomy. Now, I want you to realize this when he said that. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. You realize when he said that? That's when he was in the desert and the devil came and tempted him and said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you command these stones to be made bread? And Jesus responded by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Think about this. Before the devil became the devil, the Bible says he was an angel in heaven called Lucifer. And he decided to come against God. And guess what happened? He got thrown out of heaven. Now, so think about that. I've never thought about this until I put this message together. So when the devil used to be Lucifer, an angel, who knew Jesus in heaven? And Jesus knew him. Okay? Because then Jesus took on flesh and he came to earth. Okay? And he comes and he said, if you're the Son of God, make these stones bread. Jesus could have said, what do you mean if you know I'm the Son of God? You used to be in heaven, you dingbat. We both know I'm the Son. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. What did he do? He quoted the Bible. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. Why did he do that? To give us an example. When you're dealing with negatives, find a Bible verse that'll help you with your situation and quote it. That's what Jesus did. And it worked for him, and it'll work for you. Whoa. He is our example. Now, thoughts and emotions lay the groundwork. Lay the groundwork of what's going to happen in our life, whether good or bad. Let me give you some scriptures here. I'm going to give you three of them right off the bat, so you need to see this, okay? Look at Mark 4, okay? 24. Be careful what you hear. One translation says, be careful, pay attention, and think carefully about what you hear. Or you could say, be careful what you're listening to. And your thoughts, remember I've given you this before, according to people that know more than me, they say we have anywhere from 30,000 to 70,000 thoughts in a day. And they say that 90% of those are repetitive thoughts. Well, you stop and think, how can I have that? Because no matter what you do, you had a thought first. If I go like this, in a split second, my brain was saying, you got a little itch up there? Put your hand up there and scratch it, and the itch will go away. So you have a lot of thoughts during the day. I need to be careful what those thoughts are saying to me. And they are talking. They are talking. So God said, be careful. Be careful what you hear. Or you could say what you listen to. Now when you look at the same verse in Luke, it says it different. Be careful how you hear. Because you can hear positive things and turn something negative into it. Well, yeah, I know they said that, but you know, it never works. I can't do anything right. If you're always hearing with a negative tone, that's not good. Because you can then hear positive things and you turn something negative into it. So be careful what you're listening to. Be careful how you hear. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, that's how he is. Now, you have to combine that with Proverbs 4:23, which is not up there. You'll have to look that one up. But here's what it says. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart, out of your heart, out of your heart comes the actions of life. Well, I thought life was happening because of what's going on out here. That's partly true. But a lot happens because of what's in here, and you're bringing it to you. Read the book of Job, and you'll see that. When you read the book of Job, he was a very wealthy man. He had a lot of good things going for him, and then all of a sudden, catastrophes hit. Bang, 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 and all kinds of bad things were happening to him. And you know what he said? I think this was in about chapter 3. He said, that which I feared came on me. Fear and faith are like magnets. What you fear, you're going to attract. What you put faith in, you're going to attract. The only thing as a Christian you need to fear is God. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean like respect for God. Okay. Okay, so here's what I want to get over to you. Okay, remember, as a man thinks in his heart, that's how he is. But Proverbs also says, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of your heart comes the actions of life. When you put these two verses together, here's what I want you to realize. Because you can look at this another way. As a man thinks, let's put the comma there. As a man thinks, comma, in his heart, that's how he's going to be. So the thoughts that are going in your head are eventually going to get in your heart. And what do you mean by that? I mean that which is automatic, that which is your subconscious, that which is a knee-jerk reaction. Case in point, when I was quite young, I'm playing in the backyard. We had a big tree, a weeping willow tree there. And I was doing something, and all of a sudden, I felt something sting me in the head. I didn't know what it was, and I know what it hurt. And all of a sudden, I felt more of those, and I started screaming, running into the house, and it was yellow jackets. I had yellow jackets that got in my shirt. And they got in, and I remember coming in, my mom saw me crying and all that, and, you know, was taking my shirt off, and she got stung by one, and she killed them, you know, and all that kind of thing. And I had an allergic reaction to that, okay? And so I had to take special baths and all that type of thing because of the allergic reaction. Well, that can create a, I was just a little boy, that can create a fear in you. Go far a little bit, now I'm 20 years of age. And I got on fire for God. I wanted God. I was going after God. And I started getting Bible verses in me. That greater is God who is in you than the devil that's in this world. And that you have authority through the name of Jesus. So, I was one day climbing a pear tree to pick some pears. And all of a sudden I got stung by a wasp. I didn't see it. But you know what was in my heart now? Instead of, oh no, I can't do that. I'm going to have an allergic reaction. Now what was in my heart, because of thinking the thoughts of God throughout the day, what was in my heart came out immediately. When I got it, I talked to that thing. I said, you demon-possessed wasp. And I shook that thing off. I said, there'll be no problems with me. And I didn't have any reaction or anything. That's the difference between what's in your head, what's in your heart. You want things to eventually, so you need to ask yourself, what do you say when you accidentally hit your thumb with the hammer? That's what's in your heart. Now, God's not going to shoot you. I'm just saying that's why it's important to take time to get things in your head, because you eventually want it to get in your heart, and then that's going to govern your life. See that? Very, very powerful. But it all starts with, what are you thinking on and what are you feeling? I want to give you some more scriptures here. We're going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? They won't all be up there as far as the reference will be, but the verse itself will be on your handouts, all right? Look at this. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep you in perfect, constant peace whose mind is fixed on me because he trusts in me and puts his confidence in me. You got to do it all the time. Nothing will work good if you're not consistent. Nothing will work good if you don't stick with it. So whether you're praying, whether you're trying to read your Bible, go to church, it's got to be consistent, whatever it is, okay? I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind, your thinking, see, we're talking about that, your thoughts, we're going to get to the emotions in a minute, is stayed on me. All right, Proverbs 4:20-22 says, attend and pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Incline your ear to my sayings and lean in closer that you hear all I have to say. That's important. A lot of times we only hear a little bit. And we need to be careful what we hear. We need to be careful how we hear. Get the whole story of what God is saying. Get the whole story. That's why I give you a lot of Bible verses. That's why I tell you, take these notes, fold them up just like that. See, this is what you're going to have out there. Only yours is going to have holes in it, so you can put it in a notebook. Okay? All right. Okay. Fold it like that, and then grab something from that through the week and say, boy, you know, I'm going to get that verse down. Man shall not live by bread alone. Okay. You put that, and you're going throughout the day. And you're doing something. How'd that verse go again? Well, you got it in your pocket. Okay, yeah. Man shall not live. Well, hey. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, I'm trying to learn a Bible verse. That means I'm opening up to life. I can have life, live by the Word of God. When you do that, you're taking time to get things in your head so that it can get in your heart. Okay? Let me give you another scripture here. Philippians 4:8. Here's what it says. We're talking about how important it is to think and feel right. Think and feel. And you've got 16 hours a day to think and feel right. Okay? Here's what it says. Whatever is good, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good news, any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think on that. He's telling us how to get ahead. He's telling you how to use your 16 hours out of the day or the 119 hours a week. He's telling you how to make the best of the time that you have. Remember, the Bible says in Psalm, teach us to number our days and to remember how short really life is so that we can apply our heart to wisdom. You're being wise when you take time to put the right things in your head. Let the right things get in your head that you're fixed on and that you're feeling. So he tells us, make sure it has all of those characteristics, things that are good, true, honest. Okay, yeah, this what you're talking about, it's honest, but it's not pure. It's not lovely. It's not good. Don't think on it, okay? Don't do that. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful, all right? Let me give you one more. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's a principle there. Not only does faith come based on what we hear and listen to, but so does fear, so does love, so does hate, so does hope, so does despair, so does success, so does failure. It's all based on what you're listening to, and that starts in what you're listening to in your head. Certain things I don't listen to on the TV, okay? Especially if I'm watching a news channel, okay? And I see that they're going to, bless their heart, they need to bring me on because I would help them, okay? Here's what they say. They'll bring in this person who's got a brain, and then they'll bring in this other person that doesn't have one. I'm saying that as nice as I can. Notice I'm not mentioning any names, okay? And they'll say that. And this other person here is just crazy. Just crazy. And I'm sitting there saying, why do you bring him on? And you know what they would say? We want to be balanced. You're not being balanced. You're being stupid, okay? What kind of a parent would say, okay, I want you to have a good balanced meal. I want you to eat your fruits and vegetables, and then I want you to get as much sugar, ice cream, pie, cake, candy, because we got to be balanced in our diet. That's not a balanced diet. That's stupid. A balanced diet is good with more good. And so they don't certain, well, anyway. So they'll do that a lot of times. Well, when I see that, when they're listening to somebody that I feel has a brain, I'll listen to it. As soon as they put the, I'll turn the channel. Boom. Why? Because of that scripture that said, be careful what you hear. Because some of those guys are slick, Bubba. And they can make you believe right is wrong. And wrong is right if you listen to them long enough. So that's why God says, be careful what you listen to. Be careful how you listen. Why? Because how you hear depends on what's going to come to you. If you're listening to the wrong thing, confusion could come. Despair could come. Or hope could come. Joy could come. Faith could come. Come on, you can make it. Be careful what you're listening to. Now, let's get into a little bit of the feelings. And I've given this to you before, but I want to take it a little bit further. James, in the book of James 1:15, he's actually talking about sin. And he says, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. He's talking about lust, lusting after the wrong thing. Lust is an emotion. Okay, but you can use that in a positive way. Because one translation of James 1:15 says it this way. Okay? Catch this. After desire, see, emotion. Lust is an emotion. Desire is an emotion. After desire has conceived, it gives birth. It gives birth. It gives birth. Negative or positive? Negative or positive? So I need to be careful about what I'm thinking on and how I'm feeling. And one affects the other. One affects the other. Sometimes I'm having a feeling that makes me think a certain way. I need some medicine. Or I have a different kind of a feeling. It creates a thought. Or a thought can create a feeling. I can't believe that guy said that to me. Thoughts create feelings. Feeling creates thoughts. A lot of times, that's connected to an event. And that affects your beliefs. You know what God's trying to do? Did you see that? Did you see that progression? You know what God's trying to do? Turn that around. I want you to believe in me so that you can have the right kind of events, and you'll see how that'll change your thoughts. You'll see how that'll change your feelings by first believing in me. Listen to me. Listen to what I've got to say. Oh, that's good. All right. So I checked that out. When desires conceive, they give birth. You want to give birth to certain things? Start taking time to not only think on what God says, and we're going to give you four scriptures by the end of this, that you can take on here and say, what's those four scriptures again? And you're going to have it. You're going to have it right here. Okay, you're going to have it. Okay, and you begin to think on it, and you begin to take time to feel it. That's what they do when they try to sell you something. I get so frustrated with that. Okay, I'll see an advertisement for something, and I want to find out more about it. You know, let's just say it's finances. And they're trying to tell you about, okay, if you'll invest in this type of thing. And a lot of times they'll start off with, think of what it would be like to all of a sudden. I don't need that. I know what it would be like. Just tell me about the product, dude. What are they doing? They're painting a picture. Or if it's health, think what it would be like not to have any pain, to get up in the morning. I don't need to know that. I know what it'll be like. Just tell me about your product. See that? I'm a case, aren't I? Hallelujah, I know that. Well, there's something to that. God wants us to paint a picture, because when emotions conceive, they bring forth, whether it's negative or positive. All right, so I looked up conceive, and here's what it means. I'm going to give you two of them up here. I'm actually going to give you four, but here's the first two, okay? Here's what conceive means. To grasp with the understanding or imagination, to experience or form a feeling. That's what it means to conceive. So when I read something that says, I'll meet all of your needs, I might not understand it, but I can imagine it. And you can too. Yes, you can. You just got to get still enough to do it. I can imagine it. Maybe I haven't experienced it, but I can form a feeling that conceives. That's how you conceive. And the Bible says when emotions conceive, they give birth to what you're conceiving. All right, let me give you two more of what it means to conceive, okay? To hold as an opinion and belief, or to take seed into the womb and hold it. So a lot of times, you'll see what God's word says. I got to let that be my opinion because it's God said it. I'm going to hold on to it just like it's in my womb. We have somebody here. They're not here. They're in the back. But they're with child, okay? She has something in the womb, okay, that's growing. It's going to be a baby. When you get God's word, the Bible calls it seed. Hold on to it with your thoughts and your emotions. Your thoughts and emotions, and it'll eventually come out. And you got 16 hours out of the day to do that. 16. Okay? Hallelujah. All right, listen to this. The Bible tells us what to do with wrong thought. What am I going to do with the wrong thoughts? 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells you what to do when, and because wrong thoughts will come, wrong emotions will come, they'll come to everybody. Remember, I told you every day you're going to have opposition, opportunities, and options. Every day. So I need to be clear, I need to be courageous, and I need to be consistent. Oh, this is good. Okay, watch. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Tear down imaginations. See there? See, the Bible talks about imaginations. Tear it down. Tear what kind of imagination down? And speculations and every high, proud thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And capture every thought to make it obey Christ. So thoughts are going to come. See, it's not working. See, they prayed for you. Nothing's worked yet. Yeah, boy, you put money in the offering and your refrigerator broke. See, it's not working. See, it's not working. Cast that down. How do you cast that down? You quote what God said. No, I'm not going to listen to that. No, I'm not going to take time to get emotional about that. I'm going to feel what God said. Stick with it. That's like seed into your womb. It's going to grow. You got 16 hours a day, 112 hours out of the week where you can do it, where you're not sleeping. Hallelujah. Going to make a difference. Okay. Now, here's something else that we need to realize in case, when we hear things like this, that, okay, that's cute, but I just don't have time for that. I don't believe that. I don't go along with any of that. So I'm not going to do any of that. So, Okay, all right. Here's what happens if we don't make our thoughts and emotions line up with the Word of God, okay? This is Romans 1:28. Catch this. Okay, watch. God is talking about a group of people, and he said, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing as their creator. Stop. I don't have time to think about that's what he's talking about. People that don't want to think about God, don't want to think about the Bible, and you got a lot of people like that today. Some of them are in major leadership positions. They don't want God. He said, so they don't see it's fit to acknowledge me and think about me. Here's what I'm going to do. Watch. So because of that, God gave them over to a reprobate, depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive. Did you read that? I looked up reprobate, and you know what it means? To not have any constraints and can't tell the difference between right and wrong because their conscience has been damaged, burned. Whoa. And we've got that today. Okay, let me give you another scripture to back that up. First Timothy 4, 1 through 2. Catch this, okay? So nobody needs to have a reprobate mind where you don't know right from wrong, up from down, in from out. Okay, watch. In latter times, some will abandon the faith, meaning God. And they will follow, watch this, this is dangerous stuff. When you forsake God, okay, they will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And when you don't take time to think on the things of God, you're open to picking up what demons are teaching. So if you've ever wondered, you'll see people in society today that they're advocating this, that, and the other, and you want to say, how can you do that? How can they do that? They're picking up things from demons. Okay? Now why? These teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience has been burned as with a hot iron and cannot see what is right and what is wrong. That's the danger of not taking time out of my 16 hours a day to make sure I'm thinking right. How you doing? I tell you. Don't say that. Here's what you say. In Jesus' name, I'm blessed. In Jesus' name, I'm doing good. In Jesus' name, our needs are met. Now, certain people will look at you funny. That's all right. It's okay. Let them look at you any way you want. Hallelujah. Listen, you're going to be made fun of whether you stand for God or whether you don't. Yeah, so you need to ask yourself, whose fool do you want to be? One for God or one for the world? Hallelujah. All right. Now, here's what I want to get over to you. This, I just found this out. We've probably heard about the brain. I do a lot of studying. I read a lot after neuroscientists and all that. Kind of. I'm very interested in things of, because the Bible says a lot about your mind, thinking right. Says a lot about it. So I'm interested in that. And here's what I found out. You've probably heard before that one side of your brain is more logical and the other side is more, creative and emotional. Okay? I've found out there's four aspects there that we don't know about. Okay? There's four aspects. And we're going to put them up on the screen. all four. And you have to, and they can be measured. They can be measured how much this is being active, okay? So look at these four things that we're going to see. We're going to talk about the first one here being how much we're resisting error, okay? What? Resisting error. Your brain has a certain place where you're resisting things that are bad. Resisting, the reason I use the word error is because as long as it goes contrary to what God says you can have, it's in error. It's not in truth. That's one part of your brain that is governing the resisting part. And some people will do that. They will resist. Okay, I'm not accepting that. That's good. That's good. I'm not going to accept this. That's not God's word. That's not, okay, that's one part of your brain. Here's another part. Focus on the truth, not just a truth. Well, I really do have this problem. Okay, that's a truth. But it can be trumped by the truth. Just like the law of lift can overpower gravity. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. I've got the final say. I've got the final say. That's another part of your brain. So it's possible for you to get caught up with the truth, but you're not resisting enough. It's possible for you to resist the bad, but you're not caught up with the truth. I need both of those. Wait, we got two more. Now what? There's another part of your brain that deals with it's all self-governing. It's all about me. It's all about me. I'm resisting this, and I need this because I need. And God, the Bible says God knows what you need before you do, before you even ask. He knows that. But see, I can't ever get caught up with me because God said, when they asked him, what's the greatest commandments in the Bible? He said, well, I'll give you two. Here they are. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your mind. And here's number two E. Love others as much as you love yourself. So there's a part of my brain that doesn't do that. There's a part of my brain that can be caught up with just me, me, me. It's my problem. It's my this. It's my that. It's mine. It's me. It's me. Not good. Then there's one more. There's another part of your brain that's caught up with how much you do for others. I gotta learn this. I gotta learn this, Lord, so that I can bring this to others. I was listening to a preacher yesterday who I never met him, but I knew a lot about him, and he had tremendous ministry, and he was talking about his early days and all of that, and he said he was. And he's still going today. In fact, here's what he said. He's quite the character. He's a very good man of God. And he said, he has tent meetings. That used to be popular a long, long time ago. And he still does that. He has a huge tent that they put up. When you think of tent, you think of a little camping tent. This tent seats 5,000. Okay? Right. Big tent. You know why he does that? Here's what he said. Here's why I do that, because you can put a tent anywhere, even next to a crack house. And he loves that. He said, I have a hard time with a normal crowd. That's what he said. That's what he said. And I could understand that because a long, long time ago, when God first got a hold of him, you know where he went to preach the gospel and had tremendous success? Berkeley University. If you know anything about Berkeley University, it is not the Mecca for Christianity. And so he went there and he's preaching to a group. And there was a witch there, typical. There was a witch there trying to put a spell on him. And while he's speaking, she was going, and he's preaching, and he's trying to dodge that. He's going like. Ended up having tremendous things happen there. He said, that's what God made him for. He said, I can't preach to a regular crowd. I got to preach to where there's some crazy people type of thing. And so he had this meeting in his tent, and he's telling a story. He said, and then he had ushers and all of that and seating people. And in the front row, there was a guy that was a drunk. And he said the drunk had a little boy who had never walked, and his legs were like little sticks type of thing. And all of a sudden, this man began to pray for people that needed healing, and miracles started to happen. And this drunk, who was trying to heckle him through the sermon, he's a fraud. He's a fraud. And he's telling the story. And he said, I kept thinking, why did my ushers get this guy on the front row? What in the world? You know, he said, I'm trying to ignore him and all that. He's preaching away. But that's what he likes. He doesn't like a normal crowd. You asked for it. You got it, Bubba. He's drunk. He's got this little boy. And miracles started to happen. And all of a sudden, that drunk held up his little boy. And he said, what about my son? What about my son? He never walked. And he said at that point, he said, my heart broke. Remember what I told you about the egg? He allowed brokenness to come within him. And he said, I fell on the stage and I said, God, we need a miracle. And he put his hands out. That little boy needs a miracle. And because he was broken within, he said, it's hard for me to get out. Because I know of this man. I've never met him, but I know of him very well. Okay. And he said, all of a sudden, after a while of me being broken like that, the power of God hit that boy and his little legs began to move like he was doing a bicycle. Never walked before. He was moving like that, like he was on a bike type of thing. And all of a sudden, he got away from his father, never had walked before, ran up on the stage, and ran into that preacher's arms like that, as if to say, thank you. And now, remember what I told you before? Be careful what you listen to. See, when I heard that, it stirred in me. I said, God, there's people that's going to come through the doors tomorrow that need a miracle. It might not be something as severe as that, but they need a miracle. And I said, Lord, I don't want to just preach a sermonette to Christianettes. I want to give the truth, but then it needs to be backed up by your power. And I just sat there for I don't know how long and just wept. And I said, Lord, and I let brokenness come within. Lord, we need you. And then God gave me these four verses. Here's four verses that we need to think on. And I'm just going to put them up here, but then they'll be written out on your handout. Four verses that we constantly need to think about and feel, okay? The first one, 2 Corinthians 5:17, God says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Think on that. Feel that. You're new. You're new. Even if you did something stupid just 2 hours ago, it's gone. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I need to get that in my thinking until it gets in my heart. Number two, 1 Corinthians 2:16. We've got the mentality of God. We've got the mind of Christ. You might feel stupid, but you've got the mind of Christ that knows everything. If you want to get that to work for you, you got to think on it until it gets in my heart. That's something to get in, and it's going to be in your handout. You can whip that out. Oh, yeah. What did he say? I'm a new creation. Thank you, God. I'm new. I'm new. Old things have passed away. I've got your mind. I don't know what. My natural mind doesn't know what to do in this situation, but you do. I thank you for that. So you begin to thank him, and then all of a sudden, you're holding that, it's like a seed in your womb, and thoughts are going to come to you of what to do. All right, here's the third one. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's good to listen to. That's good to get in you. That's good to feel. I can do it. I can do it. I was thinking today, I said, God, I appreciate the school letting us meet here. I really do. But I want our own building. Dear God, I want our land. And I started saying, well, Gary, you need to practice what you preach. You need to say, I can believe God that he's going to give us land this year. He'll give us our own building this year. I can. We can. Why? Because that next verse is good. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of my needs, not half of them, all of my needs in accordance with his riches and glory. Those are four good things to get in you. Those are four good things to think on. Those are four good things to feel. And I need all of them. I need to resist the bad. I need to get into the truth. It's not just about me, but it's about others as well. I need to get those four things in me. And then wonderful things will happen. I encourage you to take one of those four, if not all of those four, sometime this week and just see how much you can go over it and feel it. I'm new. I've got his mentality. I've got his ability. He'll meet my needs. Whoa! Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time.